Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. Pastor Wimbo started the setting up. Other people joined in. It was a holy conspiracy. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me towards you, how that by revelation it made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we'll be looking at kingdom realities. And the more we look at the Holy Scriptures, particularly Genesis, we're beginning to see what the epistles is trying to communicate to us. Notice Paul says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It is safe to say my knowledge in the understanding of the Holy Scriptures. Because the Holy Scriptures are the mystery of Christ. Do you understand that? So when it says that whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, or my knowledge in the explanation of the Holy Scriptures, when you read. So in other words, when you're reading Paul's epistles, what you're seeing is an unraveling, an explanation of Christ as testified in the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. So every word, every phrase, every sentence is chosen deliberately as an explanation of that which was spoken of in the Holy Scriptures. Remember, we saw in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 4. I'll just give us, say one or two things to remind us from where we stopped yesterday. For every house is built by some man, but he that builds all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. That is a minister. He was a minister with a testimony. What was Moses testifying of? Those things which were to be spoken after. So you summarize the ministry of Moses. It was not testifying of things that existed. It was testifying of things that were spoken of after. That's important. When you're understanding the writing of Moses, what is it testifying? He was faithfully testifying. So when you're reading Genesis, particularly the first three chapters, Moses is faithfully testifying of things which are spoken of when after. It's a faithful testimony. So go back to Ephesians chapter 3 now. Ephesians chapter 3. I read from verse 14. So again, permit me to jump to verse 14. It says, for this cause, notice what it says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is what? Named. So can you see heaven and earth again then? That, now notice the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ, it is through him, his reputation is standing. That is the name. That is how heaven and earth came into existence. That's what he's saying. So for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. You can compare that with Genesis 1:26. Can you see that now? Amen. From our teachings yesterday and before, you can put Genesis 1:26 side by side. Genesis 1, let us make man in our image after what? Our likeness. So we saw in Colossians yesterday and the day before, who is the image of God? Christ. So it says, for this cause, this gospel, this revelation, this explanation, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. So Genesis 1:1 has been fulfilled now. It is the whole family in heaven and what? In earth. In other words, there is now a family, and that family is heaven in the earth. Can you see that now? So when it says, I bow my knees to the Father, it says the one who accomplished through his son. What is God's reputation? Is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question is this. Why is the epistles emphasizing God's fatherhood of Jesus Christ? Remember, in Acts chapter 13, look at Acts chapter 13, verse 32. So, I'm going to read from verse 2, Acts chapter 13. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus from the dead. Okay? Or he raised up Jesus again. As it's also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I what? Begotten thee. So when God said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, which was spoken to the mouth of the psalmist, what was he referring to? The day he begat Jesus, or when he raised him from the dead. So when you hear Paul saying the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's always a reference to the resurrection. In other words, I'm praying in line with resurrection realities. For this cause, I bow my knees. That is, I submit myself to whatever the Father has accomplished in raising Jesus from the dead. Can you understand that? So it's not just mere words. It's communicating certain things. But for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven, which is on earth, is what? Name. Can you see that? So, how was it named? In the resurrection of Jesus. That's the naming. That's the reputation. The word name means the status, the standing, reputation. Okay? The weight of an individual's accomplishment. That's the word name. So, we are named after what Jesus accomplished by his death, his burial, and what? Resurrection. Amen. Can you see that now? So he says, I'm by my knees to that Father. That is the one who has ensured that that promise has now been fulfilled. That is now a reality. So we saw certain things yesterday about certain fundamental principles that Paul's testimony had to do with things that have been spoken well ahead of time, but those things were not fully explained as it is now revealed. So again, in book of Acts 26, and I'm going to read from verse 22. Paul's defense before Agrippa, he says, having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. Notice what it says, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Can you see? It should come. What this should come? That Christ should suffer, it should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Can you see that? The things which the prophets and Moses said should come. So when we are reading what the prophets said, were they speaking of what has happened or what will happen? Thank you. So when we go back to Genesis now, look at Genesis now. Genesis and chapter 1. And verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So verse 2 and 3 will be an explanation of verse 1. How did God create the heaven and the earth? But in the beginning, God created the heaven to be in the earth. How is that going to take place? Is what Moses is penning down. Moses is using the oral history communicated by word of mouth from one generation to the other, and is weaving the revelation of Christ into it. Remember, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians. So Moses now, as a prophet, will now take what is oral tradition among the Jews, it will now weave the revelation of Christ into it. Do you understand that? So it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was that form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. So we said, what does it mean for Spirit to move? It is for God to say. The activity of the Spirit is the activity of God. So in the beginning, whose action do we see according to God's plan? God. God has the first say, and God will have the final say. Remember what we saw in Isaiah chapter 46 yesterday also. It declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which are not yet done. Amen. You remember that? So, it will declare the end from when? The beginning. So, how will heaven be in the earth? Notice what it says. The earth was start from a void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God moved. What is the Spirit moving? It is God saying. Amen. It is God saying. The question is this. What did God say? And let there be light. And there was light. So if you followed yesterday, let there be light is the gospel. That is the command. Let there be light. What is let there be light in our day? It is the preaching of the gospel. So the Spirit moving is a testimony of the resurrection. How does the Spirit move? It is God saying. Can you see that? What will God say? Let there be light. Who is the light that God is speaking? Christ. Hallelujah. Can Can you see that now? So let there be light. Remember we just read Acts chapter 26 now. What did he say? That Christ should be the first to rise from them and should show light. So the spirit moved is telling you in the resurrection, God will say, or by the resurrection, the gospel is let there be light, and there was what? Light. So remember again we saw 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. God that commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined where? In our hearts, to give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we said, let there be light is the gospel, and there is light is believing, or the effectiveness of the gospel. That's the believing. And there was light means the message has accomplished its. What did it accomplish? Heaven is now in the earth. Amen. Are we in agreement? 2 Corinthians 6 again. Verse 14. Because the next verse here will tell you, and God saw light that it was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, or divided light from the darkness. So, again, when we come to the epistles, see what it says. Be ye not unequally yoked with what unbelievers, for what fellowship has what? Righteousness with unrighteousness. What communion does light have with what? Darkness. Who is he calling light? The believer. So let there be light, and there was what? Light. Can you see that? Amen. So Genesis 1:1 is being explained in Genesis 1:2, Genesis 1:3, Genesis 1:4. It's telling you how will God make heaven to be in the earth? It will be through the resurrection of Jesus. How do we know? Christ should be the first to rise from the dead and show light. That light is a message of the gospel, which is the spirit moving, which is God saying, let there be light, which is light shining in the hearts of men, and there is light. Amen. That's simple enough. So when you jump to chapter 2 now, look at chapter 2. Now, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all, notice, the heavens and earth. The question you want to ask yourself is this. What else did God say about heaven in chapter 1 again? Why is he saying they are finished? Because you will think in chapter 2, he's saying something else. Moses is using literature to communicate the same thing. So when you hear, notice, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the heart. How did he do it? What was the situation? The earth was now form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, and God said. Or in the resurrection of Jesus, the Spirit of God will move through the gospel, and the gospel being preached is God saying, let there be light, and there was what? Light. Now, look at chapter 2 now. Read it in that light. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. When Moses is writing, are they finished? Are they finished? Is heaven in the earth? Was there light? Was there light yet? Was the earth see without form and void? Yes. Is Moses writing like it has happened? Yes. So follow Moses now. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. Mm-mm. When did he end his work? God said, let there be light, and there was light. That is when the work ends. Thus the heaven and earth were finished. He's saying the same thing. Hallelujah. Should I go about that again? Soon. Now, notice what it says. What did he say in verse 4 or verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1? And God said, let there be light. What is let there be light? What is let there be light? The gospel preached. When will the gospel be preached? In the light of what we're saying, in the resurrection of Jesus. So Christ should be the first to rise from the dead and should show light. Remember, John's gospel tells us that is the true light. John's gospel chapter 1 verse 9. That lights every man that comes into the world. How do men get lighted? By the preaching of the gospel. What is being preached? Christ is risen from the dead. In Christ's resurrection is the light that lights what? Every man. Can you see that? So in chapter 2, Moses is not teaching something different. In chapter 2, he uses heavy figure of speech to say what he said in the first 3-4 verses. That's what he's saying. That's what he says. No, see, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. When will heaven and earth be finished? When darkness is no longer on the face of the deep. How will you move darkness from the face of the deep? By light coming in. When light comes in, what will happen? There is light. Light. Heaven will be where? In the earth. Can you see that now? So look at verse 1 again now. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day. So you are thinking he's talking about something else. So he's going to use God said, God saw, God divided, God made, God created. Now, thus on the seventh day, God ended his work. or in a new creation is God's work ended. So take your mind away from 7 days. 7 days is Moses' principle. Interestingly, nobody in Genesis observed Sabbath. Because Sabbath of Moses means rest. It means God's work is finished. It means a new creation. You are God's Sabbath. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following? So let me read again now. Verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and what? All the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended the work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has what? Made. Or all that God promised is fulfilled on the seventh day. What is the seventh day? Heaven in the earth. What is heaven in the earth? The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. So when light enters a man's heart, what has happened? Hebrews says the man has entered into rest. So when he says God is resting here, he's not speaking literally, he's speaking figuratively. God never sleeps nor slumbers. He never gets weary. So God rested means that God's work is done. The new creation is God's done work. God's work is done. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you see that now? So is he saying what he said in chapter 1? Yes. Saying the same thing. Using different terminologies. So let's jump all the way down to where were we before now? Yesterday. Now, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Can you see? He took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Go to chapter 3 and verse 1. Where was the man? In the garden, isn't it? Now, chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, you shall be as gods, knowing good which is evil. Now, put your hand there, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let us look at the garden again. Where is the woman in the garden? Where did serpent come? In the garden. Where is the garden? So, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as in the same way, as a serpent beguiled Eve, through what is subtlety, so your minds. So, where did serpent come to Eve? In the garden. Where is the garden? Okay. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So what does that mean? Notice, yea, as God said. As God said, yes. What did God say? Let there be light. What does God say? It is not good for man to be alone. We explain what that means. What does it mean to say it is not good for man to be alone? It is not good for earth to be without heaven. It is not good for earth to be without form and void. Can you see that? It is not good for man to be alone. I will make an help that is made for him. Can you see that? That was the gospel that they heard. That is what Paul is now calling the simplicity of Christ. What simplicity? Singularity of purpose. No shadow of turning. One message. What's the message? Light. 7 day rest, garden, keep this commandment, eat this tree. I will make an help meet. The message is the same from chapter 1. So when you keep hearing light shines in darkness, 7 day rest, eat of the tree, receive help that is meet, the message is the same. So lest your mind be corrupted from the simplicity which is what. So the message was repeated. Outro. On the seventh day God rested is the same message. Where is God's rest? In man's believing. What is man's believing? In what God has accomplished. Can you see that? So the message is the same. Singularity. No difference. So he says, as a serpent beguiled Eve, your mind should be corrupted from that singular message. That one directional way. Everything is of God. It is God that will do everything. I will make the help that is mean. I finish the heavens and the earth. I am the one who is resting in that reality. I'm the one offering you the tree of life to eat. I'm the one that commanded light to shine out of darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So where is the singularity? It's in the message. That's the simplicity of that. It's in the message. So there was a message that was there that the enemy came to question. Can you see it now? Hallelujah. So where is the garden? In the minds of Eve. So let's go back to chapter 2. So when you hear verse 15, see what it says. And the Lord God took the man. Remember, Moses is not talking literally. He's using figures of speech. Are we together? So if the garden is in the mind, let's look at it close now. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden. The word took there means to carry somebody along. What is he carrying along with? With revelation, with life, with understanding. He's still saying the same thing. Enter my rest. This is the rest. This is what I will provide. This is what I've made available. He carried him along. Look at the next instruction. And put him into the garden, or put him into the rest that he had already prepared. What's God's rest? And there be light. Hallelujah. Who will accomplish light? The Spirit of God will move. When will he move? In the resurrection of Jesus. God was saying the same thing. So to put him into the garden, it means to put him into that rest that God has already what created. Say amen. Hallelujah. So don't go looking out for garden. He already told you, lest your mind be corrupted from the simplicity. So where did Satan come to? Moses says he came to the garden. What did Paul say about the garden? Where is the garden? In Eve's mind. Amen. Hallelujah. In Eve's mind. So the message had preceded the temptation. Can you see that? So it says, lest your mind be corrupted from the simplicity. So there was already a message received that the enemy is trying to get them from, or to cause them to stray away from. Can you see that? So notice what God has been saying. The heart was start from a void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Who began to move? God. Who spoke? God. Who accomplished heaven and earth? God. So it is the activity of God. What is man's response? Believe. Now, we said something yesterday. We said, the first time you hear the word believe in the whole of Genesis is in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, the first time. Abraham was not the first to believe, but Abraham was a template Moses used to represent all those that believed. Noah had believed. Enoch had believed. So there were others who had believed. Melchizedek obviously had believed. But he used Abraham deliberately. And we said that by the time you read 50 chapters and 39 chapters devoted to one man and his family, you know that you need to study that man and see what's going on. Amen. You see that? So he used Abraham to typify and to communicate certain realities about what he means to. And so in Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. He believed, or Abraham entered into God's rest, or Abraham ate of the tree of life, or Abraham received it as a promise. Abraham entered the garden. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? Hallelujah. So God took him, that means he carried him along, and put him into, he's still talking about the same message. This is the message. This is what I want you to do. This is what I've made available. What is your response? Believe. So there was a bias for believing from the beginning. Hallelujah. So when you're studying Abraham, therefore, if Moses is using Abraham deliberately to communicate that simplicity of Christ, which is God's action on man's behalf, which has been promised from the beginning, I will do. You see, even in introducing chapter 15, it says, Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. And the word shield is closer to the word used for advocate for Jesus in the New Testament. So this is God telling you what I am, which will be made manifest in the resurrection of Jesus. I am what I am, so I will be what I will be. I will be is in the resurrection. This will be made manifest, what I already am. Amen. Can you see that now? So God's message is the same. It hasn't changed. It's the same. So when you read it that way, you will now understand. No, not one person. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. Why is the mystery? The language used is such that if you don't have the understanding or the explanation, there are some things you will see written. Because you have the understanding, you will know they can't mean the way it was written. Amen. Genesis 22. We'll come back in. And people can come again. Anyway, it's not compulsory. We must finish this today and this week. We can continue next week. Amen. It should just not be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Just be Wednesdays. Is that okay? Okay, so Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things, that's Genesis 20 verse 1, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. The first thing that should have alerted you to something going on is, why are you saying your son? Is God, does God have amnesia? Because in chapter 17 they discuss Ishmael. God was telling him about Isaac, who was yet to come. And Abraham told God, Ishmael is before you, bless him. He said, I've blessed him. But the one that will be your heir, look at how God speaks. Maybe I should just take it there. Look at him, chapter 17. Let me paraphrase it. Chapter 17, glory to God. Verse 1. And when Abraham was 19 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty, walk before me, and as you walk, I will make you perfect. I'm interpreting it for you now. Okay. So he says, and I will make my covenant between me and thee. Notice, it is my covenant. It will be between me and thee. Or I will use you as my postcode. I will use you as an example. The covenant will be, now let me say that, the covenant is not between Abraham and God. It is between God and himself. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's covenant terms. The covenant that God had with Jesus is the covenant that ensured that he became Jesus' Father in order to father us. Say amen. Thank you. So you understand now? So notice Abraham is symbolic. Moses uses Abraham symbolically. So notice it. See, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. As for me, behold, my covenant with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Who is father of many nations? Who is father of many nations? So is it Abraham that will be father, or God will be father? Who is he using as the example? Abraham. Thank you. How do we know God will be father of many nations? Let us make man in our image, after what? Our likeness. Let them have what? When did you have dominion? When Christ rose from the dead. Amen. Okay. Do you have a covenant with God? You didn't answer. I only want one or two to answer. Do you have a covenant with God? Okay. Are you a product of the covenant? Okay. See. So, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be no more called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make of the nation, make of thee nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my, notice, I will establish that covenant, okay, between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their what? Generations for what? An everlasting covenant. If somebody, something is an everlasting covenant, I will establish my covenant between me and thy seed. His everlasting, that means Abraham will be gone, but the seed will remain. Who is Abraham's seed? Christ. Thank you. So, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So, the covenant is between God and Abraham's seed. Who is Abraham's seed? Christ. So I'm going to jump now. Let me go to verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said, Inside, shall the child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Thy wife Sarah shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with the seeds after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have what? Blessed him, and I will make him fruitful. I will multiply him what exceedingly. 12 pieces shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with who? Isaac. So, who is the Isaac that God will establish covenant with? Thank you. Amen. I hope you know how to read it now. Who is that Isaac? That's Christ. Thank you. So, we've already explained that Abraham's womb being dead, Sarah's womb being dead, speaks about resurrection. That's how Isaac came. Who is going to come from resurrection? Christ. Are we together now? Okay. So go back to Genesis 22. Amen. So notice, where are we now? Verse 2. Take now thy son, thy what? Only son. Does Abraham have an only son? Was there a son before Isaac? So could it be God talking to Abraham, or God showing Abraham something? Thank you. Who is Abraham? According to the scriptures, a prophet. Abraham is a prophet. Say, Abraham is a prophet. No, so he said, take now your son, your only son, whom thou lovest. Why is he saying that? You know, some things are like, why is he whom thou lovest? You already know I love him. He said, I don't love Ishmael. Whom thou lovest. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. A parable is going on here. Abraham is a prophet. Abraham is an audience to what God will do to his own son. This is my beloved son. Where did you hear it? When Jesus was being baptized. Can you see that? So take now thy son Isaac, as though Abraham has forgotten, whom thou lovest. So you should know this is not Isaac. Now look at him. Because he just said, thy only son. So he's referring to, how did Isaac come? Or what is Isaac typify? Resurrection. So that only son that you now have. Now take him. And get into the land of Moriah, and offer me there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. How do you know God couldn't have been asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? Because it is written all over the scriptures that God is not interested in burnt offerings. Amen. Okay, Psalm 51 again, verse 16. Amen. You need to be fully persuaded. So, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I will give it. You delight not in burnt offering. Can you see that? So God does not desire sacrifice, or I will have given it. Neither do you delight in burnt offering. Next verse. The sacrifices of God. So God does not desire sacrifice. He does not want burnt offering. But there's a sacrifice God wants. What sacrifice? The sacrifice of God I want. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. What's a broken and contrite heart? Repentance. That is believing. Believing what God has done. What does it mean to offer sacrifice? According to verse 16, it means to bring your work. What does it mean to offer sacrifice in the next verse? It means to accept God's work. Hallelujah. Can you see the difference? So what does it mean to offer sacrifice now? To come to God with nothing except praise for what he has done. That's sacrifice. You are not the one that will bring sacrifice. It is God that will want bring sacrifice. So what is happening in Genesis 22? God, through the prophetic news of Abraham, he's showing Abraham something. Go to the land that I will tell thee of. What do I want to show you? I want to show you how I will accomplish this covenant, which I've already spoken to you about. So go back to Genesis 22. Let's read. Our time is fast spent. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his son, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wolf of burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God has told him. Then on the third day, remember the third day? What happens on the third day? Okay, so Moses is crafting this thing beautifully. You have to follow his language. On the third day, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place where afar off. Again, we don't have time to go through the Hebrew context, but afar off simply means in the distant future. He saw it in the distant future. Jesus referred to this experience. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. John 8:56. And he saw it and he was what? Glad. How did he see it? By revelation. He wasn't there. He saw it by revelation. On the third day, he saw it afar off in the future. See what it says. It says, Abraham said unto the young man, abide you here with us. I and the land will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Don't read any other meaning to it. It's not figure of speech. It's direct. We'll go, we'll worship. We're going to learn. There's a teaching seminar on the mountain. We want to go on. Isaac is one that will continue this teaching ministry to the next generation, so he has to be there with me. You stay here. We will come back to you shortly. So, see what happened. So, Abraham is a prophet. See what happened to him. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. So, this is not normal. When we see wood, when we see knife, when we see fire, we should see what you are going to slay. Can you see that? We should see it. When you are not taking any. And we left all of them at home. And we have plenty at home. Because Abraham was rich in cattle and in silver, particularly when he left Egypt. Hallelujah. He was rich. He was rich. He had everything. So it's all that. He's not customary now. Where is he? So look at what he said. Behold. He said, behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Moses is explaining what God wanted to show Abraham. Look at the response of the prophet. Abraham, the prophet, is teaching us. Remember, God has spoken by the mouth of his words, prophet. Is Abraham a prophet? Is God speaking by Abraham's mouth to us? So let's listen to what Abraham said. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went up there, both went together. Did Isaac have any clue or any idea or any thought that it would be He knew he wasn't the one. He knew he wasn't the one. He knew he wasn't the one. What did the man say? God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And I explained to you now, if you read that on the surface, here's what you hear. God will bring lamb. That's true. But beyond God will bring lamb, is God will provide himself as a lamb. Can you see that? God will provide himself. So he will bring a lamb. The lamb is himself. When you see what Abraham is saying by the Spirit, you now see what John saw in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29. When John declared, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away what? The sin of the world." So how will you read in light of what we just read now? Is Jesus the Lamb of God? Is Jesus God? The Lord will provide himself as a lamb. Not just he will provide a lamb, he will provide himself as a lamb. So you can see, this is what John was saying. When John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin." Behold God as a lamp in order to take away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Do you agree? John chapter 10. Let's look at another witness. John chapter 10, let's read from verse 8. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and find in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that he may have what? Life. They may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd." Look at the good shepherd. "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd does not take the life of the sheep." So the good shepherd could never have told Abraham, "Kill your son." Because the good shepherd will give his own life for the sheep. That's what the good shepherd does. Who was speaking to Abraham? The good shepherd. What is it to Abraham? "I will give my life for yours." Hallelujah. "I will give my life for yours." So Abraham, why he climbed upon the mountain? Oh, there's a teaching class going on. I want to show you the future. What future? "I told you, as for me, my covenant is between me and thee." Who is the thee? Between me and your seed. Who is your seed? Christ. "How will it be done?" "Abraham, you bring nothing. You just come and see. Just come and see." How was it revealed in Genesis 22? On the mountain of the Lord. Go back to Genesis 22. Hallelujah. Verse 14. "And Abraham called." Abraham is a prophet. So even in calling the name, he's revealing something. He's still revealing God to us. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. It's not a place. It's not a place. You won't find it anywhere else today. It's not a place. Let me put it this way. You know, Ephesians 1:3 says that, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings." In what? Heavenly. Okay, so are there heavenly places or the heavenlies? Are there heavenly places or heavenlies? Heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So where is heavenlies? In Christ. Are you in Christ? So you are in the heavenlies. Okay? So when you're reading this also, look at the place that way. Look at what Abraham said. Abraham called the name of place Jehovah Jireh. That is the one who provides, the one who supplies. He says, "As it is to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen." What did they go there to do? To see what God will do. They went there to see what God said he would do. So what did Abraham bring? Faith. He believed what God said he would do. Because all you are meant to bring is believe what God said he would do. Because God will show you what he will do. You contribute nothing. Hallelujah. Everything is of God from beginning to the end. So Jireh simply means the one who provides himself as the offering. He himself is the offering. He himself is the lamp. So you will see what God will do in his son. So when you hear God saying to Abraham, or Abraham hearing that Abraham's, and God said to Abraham, "Take not thy son, thy only son," that was God obligating himself. What was God saying? "I will now take my son, my only son, and I will offer him up for a burnt offering." What you call a burnt offering? "In order to appease for sins, I will take my son, my only son, whom I love." So the only son is not Isaac. The only son is who? Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." His only begotten son. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Can you see that now? So Abraham, as a prophet, is revealing to us the plan of God's salvation. How will heaven be in the heart? God will say, let there be light. How will light come? Jesus will rise from the dead and show light unto the people. So where is the light? In the resurrection of Jesus. How will it be accomplished? God will provide himself a lamb. What is Abraham's part? On the mountain of the Lord, he shall be seen. Who is what? Which mountain is that? The Lord himself is a mountain. Hallelujah. The Lord himself is a mountain. He himself is a mountain. He's a work done. He's one that creates. Hallelujah. Your maker is your husband, even your redeemer. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54. Can you say that now, clearly? So, what is this in chapter 12, Genesis? The same thing said in chapter 1. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make. Why you want that I will make? Well, when there was darkness upon the earth and the earth was without form, the spirit moved. So, which activity did you see when there was darkness? God. When man is without form and void, would the activity be seen? Also God also. How will God fill the darkness? He will make an help that is meet. So the help that is meet, the eating of the tree, the putting in the garden, is the same thing as let there be light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you see that? It's the same thing as what? Let there be light. And there was light. Glory to God. So it has happened. He has provided. The lamb is sacrificed. Light has come. The light has been separated from darkness. Glory to God. We have a father like no other. God's faithfulness has been revealed. The light has come abroad to all men. Glory to God. So this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything, it is in accordance with his will to what? Hear us. Can you see that? 2022 is a marvelous year. More light is shining than ever before. The gospel blossoms and prospers in the hearts of men. It gains grounds. And like a wild wind, like wildfire, it burns up ignorance everywhere it touches. Traditions collapse before the force of the gospel. Because the spirit is ever moving, so the light is ever shining. Through you and through me, like wildfire, it's unstoppable. Christ exalted in all the nations of the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. His celebration is all over the earth and all over the place. He's the provider. He's that father that never forsakes his own. So Hebrews 13 now, we now understand. It is not good that man should be alone. It is not good for earth to be without heaven. It is not good for earth and without form and void to be without light. It is not good for man not to be Eden. It is not good for man not to eat of the tree of life. They are all saying the same thing. It is not good for man to be without a lamb. I will make an help that is meet for him. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There's nothing that man can do unto me. Hallelujah. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a permanent help. Help has been made. Help has been given. And next year is a year of marvelous help. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet and give God thanks tonight.